Benjamin Netanyahu is preparing to return as Prime Minister of Israel. His party did well in recent elections, so the conservative leader is trying to assemble a new government just a year and a half after he lost an election amid his corruption trial.
All politics is cruel. Israeli politics is crueler than most. I've been subjected, especially my family, to endless vilification because I keep winning elections.
During his time out of power, Netanyahu wrote a book called Bibi, which is his nickname. Politicians often write memoirs when they retire, but his look back on his life comes as his career continues. He begins with an episode 50 years ago in 1972.
An airline hijacking drama centering on a Belgian airliner at the Tel Aviv-Israel airport has...
Then as now, Palestinians were fighting Israeli occupation, and a militant group took a plane load of hostages. Israeli commandos, including a young Netanyahu, smashed in the emergency exit doors to climb inside.
The 21-hour drama on the side runway of Lida International Airport ended with less than a minute of gunfire. When it was over, two male Arab guerrillas lay dead, and a female...
Netanyahu was wounded. 4 years later, his brother was killed in an Israeli raid to rescue another plane load of hostages.
I think that was the event that propelled me into my to the rest of my life.
What does it say that 50 years have passed and Israel is still fighting the same unresolved conflict?
Well, I think it's not Israel is fighting it. The world is fighting it. Democratic states worldwide, the battle of terrorism, the battle that has now been taken over by radical Islamic terrorism.
Although there's also this narrower conflict, of course, between Israelis and Palestinians. That's what I mean that is unresolved.
Well, it's unresolved because the Palestinians don't want peace with Israel. They want a peace without Israel.
In 1947, world powers agreed to partition Palestine, intending one part for Israel. A planned Palestinian state was stillborn, and Israel captured the land intended for it during a 1967 war. During its occupation, Israel has built Jewish settlements there. In the 1990s, Netanyahu criticized an Israeli-Palestinian peace accord and went on to become Israel's dominant political figure. During 15 years as prime minister, he built relations with Arab states while bypassing Palestinians.
So I went around them, went to the Arab states, the Gulf states, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and from there also to Morocco and Sudan, and forged the historic peace accords. I believe that within a few days, as I hope, I'll form a new government. I'll expand that circle of peace.
His achievement was historic and left Palestinians out.
Wow, everyone is crowding here.
Earlier this year, our colleague Daniel Estrin reported on Palestinians in a crowded hospital desperate for life-saving medical care they could only find on the far side of Israeli checkpoints.
Why did you come here?
And he needs heart surgery. Three months. We are literally suffering for 3 months now. We just want him to be operated, that's all.
I've been in Gaza and the West Bank, as you know. Our correspondents have been there for years. We do cover extremists. We cover Hamas, but also meet ordinary people trying to live their lives who feel consistently humiliated by Israel, which is the primary power. Can't get basic things like health care because they have to get permits and cross checkpoints. What does your new government offer them?
Offers them peace, number one. Offers them also a better life. I've been a champion of economic betterment, not as a substitute for a political settlement, but because I think it just makes life worth living, easier to live, and also it does pave the way for peace. You're right that the majority of ordinary Palestinians want a good life. I think their tragedy is that for the last century, really from the 1920s, they've been commandeered by a leadership, a radical leadership, that refuses to make a genuine peace with the Jewish state.
Do you see any way that ordinary Palestinians would get political equality through whatever formula? Do you see a way that can happen in the foreseeable future? How?
Yes, my formula is very simple. The only peace that will hold is one that we can defend. And the one that we can defend is one in which the Palestinians have all the powers to govern themselves, but none of the powers to threaten our life, which means that security in whatever political arrangements we'll have, realistically will have to remain in Israel's hands. And I
they won't see that as political equality, of course.
No, of course. I don't hide that for a minute. I say it openly. Joe Biden, a friend of 40 years, when he was vice president, was in Israel. And he said to me, but Bibi, that's not complete sovereignty. And I said, you're right, Joe, but that's the only one that will last.
Now, that conversation with Joe Biden points to Netanyahu's sometimes difficult relations with the United States. In 2015, when Barack Obama was president, Netanyahu addressed Congress to criticize an agreement to limit Iran's nuclear program.
We must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror.
Netanyahu writes that his challenge to Obama raised his global stature. Later, he was close to President Trump, who pulled the U.S. out of the Iran deal. Since then, Iran has accelerated its nuclear program. Is Israel safer today than it was in 2018 when the U.S. pulled out?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you're not safer at all until you have a credible military option.
Netanyahu insisted any agreement is useless and that rogue states give up their nuclear ambitions only when threatened or attacked.
I've said that I will not let Iran, that calls openly for the destruction of my country, and by the way, also chants death to America. And if they have ICBMs, they'll threaten your cities, every one of your
cities. I've heard that chant. I've been in Tehran, but I've also spoken with Rob Malley, the current U.S. envoy for Iran, who said on NPR this year that compared to 5 years ago, Iran is, quote, much closer to having enough fissile material for a bomb. That sounds like Israel would be less safe.
Well, how do you think it would be if we hadn't done all the things that Mr. Malley doesn't describe to? I'm not even sure that he knows all the things that we did.
Israel is widely suspected to have used sabotage and even assassinations to set back Iran's nuclear development. Now that Joe Biden is president, the United States has sought to resume the nuclear deal, but Netanyahu hopes that protests within Iran will change that.
Joe Biden has been a great friend. And although we've had our disagreements, he always says, Bibi, I love you. I don't agree with you on anything. It's not true. We agree on quite a few things. I have a suspicion right now that because of the unfolding events, the dramatic events in Iran and the change of attitude that has happened across the political spectrum, left and right in many lands, that people understand that the way to go is not to return to the flawed nuclear agreement, but in fact to adopt a much more resolute attitude.
Netanyahu can set Israel's attitude once he assembles a majority in the parliament. It's fragmented among many parties. He's criticized for making alliances with leaders very far to his right. They've attacked the place of minorities in Israel, such as Arabs or those who identify as LGBTQ. Netanyahu insists the far right will not make policy.
They're joining me. I'm not joining them. I'll have two hands firmly on the steering wheel. I won't let anybody do anything to LGBT or to deny our Arab citizens their rights or anything like that. It just won't happen. Well, and the test of time will prove that.
Well, let me ask about one person in particular, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who, as some will know, was convicted in 2007 of supporting a terrorist organization and of incitement, calling Arab members of the Knesset, the parliament, a fifth column, saying Arabs should be expelled. Member of an extremist group, we could go on for some time. You say that you will set the policy, he won't, but you've said that you want him to be in charge of the police. What value does that specific individual bring to the job of overseeing the police?
Well, first of all, his eligibility was decided by the Supreme Court. Secondly, he's modified a lot of his views since then. And I have to say that, you know, with the power and with power comes responsibility, not always, and I certainly will ensure that that will be the case. Now, you ask about the
police. What makes him valuable as head of the police, of all things?
Well, I think one of the things that that we've seen is the erosion of internal security in Israel. It's a big, big issue. I have to say his party ran on that. He says, I want to be tested. I think I can bring security to Arabs and Jews alike, the Arab citizens and Jewish citizens alike. That was his campaign promise. We have a coalition. I said, you'll be given the chance. You'll be given the tools. You better do the job. And I think that time will see.
Are you saying that Arab Israelis, Israeli Arabs, Palestinian citizens of Israel, as many will call themselves, should be able to trust this man who has said that Arabs should be expelled?
No, I don't think anybody should trust anybody based on their promises. But I think what What will be the test is not whether you believe him or not, but whether you see an actual result. The same is true of me.
I was just reading a news report out of Israel that Ben Gavir, among other members of your prospective coalition, that he is demanding additional powers to keep the coalition together. First, is that true? Is he demanding that? And are you going to give it to him?
Let me tell you, Steve, they're all demanding it. Every one of them says, Ben-Gvir has, apparently he's getting good press because his demands are appear in the foreign press, but no, they're all demanding it. Look, this is a Rubik's Cube. I don't know. This is the least enjoyable part of politics. And by the way, Israeli politics in general, in my opinion, all politics, is not enjoyable. I'm not here for the joyride. It's not. But the least enjoyable...
Oh, come on. You have to enjoy this on some level. You've done it for so many years.
No, you find satisfaction in a life of purpose. But I'm here not because I enjoy it. I'm here because I have a purpose.
Benjamin Netanyahu is the Prime Minister-elect of Israel and also the author of Bibi, My Story. Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Since we spoke on Monday, Israel's Knesset, or parliament, began debating legislation that would give the far-right minister Ben-Gvir extra authority over the police. Debates like that in the coming days will shape the government that Benjamin Netanyahu plans to preside over once again.